Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I hope you consider giving us a call tonight. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And let's see, just a reminder, check us out online, at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out a bit more about me and about our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And certainly, thank you for praying for me last week. If you're listening last week, my voice was about shot by the end of the day last week. Doing much better tonight. Still a little bit of a frog there a little bit, but not too bad compared to where it was last night. So, again, thanks for your prayers, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and enjoy the program a little better this week than last week. All right, let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you, and help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, welcome to the program. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I hope you'll be able to give us a call tonight, and our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. We've got a number of people calling in already. We're going to get to our phone calls. I want to say happy Father's Day, all of our fathers that are listening tonight. Happy Father's Day to you, and I hope that you had a great day today, and less than an hour to go of Father's Day, and it's kind of nice. It's almost the longest day of the year. We have generally June the 21st is the longest day of the year. And, so have a long day for Father's Day today, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But again, I just want to say happy Father's Day to everybody out there. All right. Well, as I said, Pastor Al Davis, live at pastoral.com, and we're going to jump into our phone calls here this evening, and I believe we have Barb in West Virginia calling tonight, so we're going to pick up Barb. Haven't talked to Barb in a while. How you doing tonight?
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi. Good to hear from you.
Doing pretty good over here.
That's good.
Complain.
What was that?
I can't complain.
Well, as somebody said, can't complain doesn't do any good if you do. So, but we understand. You know, we're all human. We all have the same frailties and everything like that. And that's where it's good to know the Lord's with us, and it's Amen. Good to know He's got something better in store for us, isn't it?
Amen, brother. My my husband, I don't know if you remember him.
Yes.
He's in a nursing home now.
Mm, okay.
And he's not able to walk anymore, and they say he has dementia. I don't really know how that works or anything, but a question came to my mind, and mm-hmm. I thought, well, while I'm thinking of it, I ought to ask Pastor Al, because I know he knows what's what. He tells it like it is.
Appreciate that.
What? Now, I don't know how to put this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound stupid. But is the Holy Spirit and the Comforter the same person?
Well, actually, that is a good question, and I think you put it very well. Let's go over to the Gospel of John.
Okay.
And let me take a look here. Excuse me. Still want to have a little bit of a frog in my throat tonight, but doing much better. Last week I finished the program and I went home and the next morning I couldn't even hardly say two words.
Oh my
goodness. It was unbelievable. I didn't feel particularly bad. It's just that whatever was going on. I just hit the wrong button here on my computer. Sorry about that.
I'll say a quick prayer for you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Holy Father, we lift Brother Al to the throne of grace. We ask you, Lord God, to touch him, heal him, Lord, for he's a worker for you. And you say, where two agree of having any one thing, it will be. So I agree, and our other people agree, that this man be healed in Jesus' name.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Barb. Now, let's get over your question here while you're praying. I got the right verse. I was in the right area here, John chapter 15 and John chapter 16. I was just looking up the particular verse, the verses, I should say, that we want.
Okay.
And there's a, actually, John chapter 14, I think we're going to go back there and start there before we get to chapter 15 and 16. But there's three chapters there where Jesus refers to the Comforter, and he says in John chapter 14 and verse 16, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter," and that's with a capital C, "that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, because the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." There's two things in this passage right here that we see. First off, the Comforter that he's talking about here is the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit of God. That's right there. But there's another interesting thing here in verse 16. He says, "Give you another Comforter." Because, see, while Jesus was there, he was the Comforter. In fact, John chapter 14, verse 18 says, "I will not leave you comfortless."
Right.
So he was a comfort to his disciples while he was there. And then he said, and he's going to tell them here in a little bit, that he's going to leave. But he's saying here that another Comforter was going to come. This Comforter, as I said, he is the Spirit of truth. And then when we come down to verse 26 in the same chapter here, John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So it's very clear who we're talking about here, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And we also know from the context that he's another Comforter because Jesus was the Comforter at that time. And he says that this Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is going to teach us. Because when we read the scriptures, that's one of the things the Holy Ghost does, right? Mm-hmm. He illuminates the scriptures for us. In fact, that makes sense because the Bible says, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So if the Holy Ghost, you know, inspired them to write and give us the scriptures, then obviously the Holy Ghost is able to help us understand the scriptures that he gave us through these men. And so he's going to teach us, and then he also brings things to your remembrance, he says. And so as you're thinking about the things of God, or you're talking to somebody, maybe you're witnessing to somebody, or somebody's asking you a question and you're trying to answer the question, the Holy Ghost will bring things to your remembrance. And to me, that's a great comfort, because if I had to rely on my memory alone, I'd be lost. And then in John chapter 15, in verse 26, Jesus talks about the Holy Ghost some more. And he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And again, he's called the Spirit of truth here, which is, you know, an interesting title that's given to him. You know, Jesus described, remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. See, because Jesus is God, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is God, God the Spirit, they're both truth because God is truth, isn't he? And so this is great.
I go back to the Father, and I go back to the Father so he can send the Comforter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, of course, he is truth as well. And his word is truth. Jesus said, sanctify him through thy word is truth. So, you know, God is truth. Here's again, as I was reading there in verse 26, he said, he shall testify of me. So I was sharing this with I think it was our Friday night Bible study. When we share the gospel with somebody and we tell them about Christ and what he did, the Holy Ghost is moving on the heart of that unsaved person, helping them to understand the truth about Jesus. And then, of course, in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So right now, God is working in the world through the person of the Holy Ghost. But at this time, here in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he was working in the world through the person of God the Son, Jesus Christ. And so then when Jesus left, then the Spirit came, and now he works through the Spirit in our hearts. And then, of course, when the rapture takes place, the Spirit of God will ascend up out of heaven. And then, of course, we know that at the end of the tribulation, that Jesus is going to come back to the earth. And so we kind of see this, the Godhead, you know, different parts of it. And I guess I could point out that in the Old Testament, we saw God the Father being emphasized, and then God the Son being emphasized in the Gospels, and then God the Spirit being emphasized following the Gospels. So it's kind of interesting in how God has worked in the world through different aspects of his very being, of the Godhead.
Amen.
But yeah, so
that came to me, and I thought, well, I needed to, you know, to hear that, because sometimes it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if I don't understand something, I always say, Lord, help me understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you hear a man of God explain it, and he helps understand it better.
Right. And then, too, that's where the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit and gives us understanding. And it's like the light coming on. You can't see clearly. And when God starts to illuminate the heart and the understanding comes in,
I've seen that several times when we pray. Mm-hmm. It seems like the whole room lights up.
Well, and I see that oftentimes when I'm trying to think of something, or even on the radio program, something will come to me that I wasn't normally thinking about, but I believe that's the Holy Spirit of God bringing to my remembrance and getting my attention and directing me to what we need to look at.
Amen.
And I experience that preaching oftentimes.
Amen. Thank you for taking my call. And I haven't called in a long time, but I'm still here.
Well, I appreciate your prayer, that's for sure. And I appreciate your question. That was a great question. And nothing difficult about, or I mean, nothing awkward about that question is what I meant to say.
That was good. I was kind of wondering about
that. No, that was a good question, because when we look at this, and when we see that one of the titles for the Holy Ghost is the Comforter, that's a great title, because comfort, you know, in I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes about the God of all comfort. And so how does he comfort you oftentimes?
Amen.
Through the Spirit speaking to your heart, doesn't he?
Yes.
And it's a source of comfort as you read God's word and he opens it up to you. So,
amen.
That's a great title, The Comforter.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for a great question to start us with. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, brother. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Thank you, Barb. Appreciate that call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. The toll-free number here is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to jump over to Terry here tonight. And Terry, missed your call on Friday. We were kind of busy with the program on Friday, but glad to get to you tonight.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me either. You know, if you can't get to me, or you know, and you get a lot. If you get other callers coming in, I don't mind being last too.
Well, I appreciate that.
To you one other time before, right? Or even if you can't get me on, I understand that too. So. We're supposed to be understanding, you know.
Well, and we do try, if we get somebody new or somebody hasn't called in a long time, we do try to bring them up through the list and, you know, try to get some of them first. But I appreciate your patience and your willingness to hang on.
Yep. I was just going to talk about a subject tonight that is a little bit difficult.
Uh-huh.
Actually difficult for me. Anyway, and that's talking about the universe.
Did you say the universe?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And the dimensions, time and that. And what I was reading is about, you know, there's four dimensions, possibly five, that we're aware of.
Yeah, and to give our listeners a quick understanding, we're familiar with the three dimensions of length and width and height. You know, we live in a three-dimensional world in that sense. Oftentimes we'll consider the fourth dimension to be that of time, because where I'm sitting right now in this chair in this studio is a specific point, a three-dimensional point, you know, here on the Earth, obviously, in the universe. But it's more than just that three-dimensional point, because, you know, at other times there's been somebody else sitting in this exact spot. And so it's not just enough to know the exact three-dimensional point. You have to know the time. And at this particular time, I'm in this chair. At another time, somebody else will be occupying this particular location, this chair. So that would be a way of looking at four dimensions. And then some people actually believe there's as many as 11 dimensions, and it gets beyond our mind's ability to imagine these things. They can describe some of them mathematically, but it gets a bit complicated.
Yes, and we don't even know how many dimensions there really is.
Right, and then we throw in the term universe, and sometimes you'll hear people say alternate universe or parallel universe or multiple universes, things like that. And when we do that, I look at it as Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says God created the heaven and the earth. And this is one of the things I was talking about on Friday's program, which is available now at livewithpastoral.com. Excuse me. Is that God created a spiritual realm, and that's what he populated with the angels, and then he created a physical realm, which was to be populated with human beings. So we got angelic beings created to populate the spiritual realm, and human beings created to populate the physical realm. And if you look at it, you could consider them, in a sense, two parallel universes, a physical universe, a material universe, maybe is a better way to put it, material universe, and a spiritual universe. So,
and the universe is outside of time? Heaven?
Well,
is outside of time?
Certainly the material universe that we're in, time is a function of it. Also, when we look at the spiritual heaven, you know, there's things in the Bible that talks about, you know, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, which means time as we're experiencing it here in this world is differently experienced in heaven. I had a friend, he's with the Lord now, so he knows much, much better than he did then. But he had written a book. He was a very smart guy, very learned, and had an ability to think of these things. And he wrote a book on the Bible and time, I believe it was. It's unfortunately not available, not in print anymore. But I do have on our page or on our website, livewithpastoral.com, there is on that a link to an interview with him. His name is Dave Pabas. He's with the Lord now, as I said, and he used to pastor up in Michigan. And we had a discussion about this, about time and the Bible. And I was just scrolling down through my list here on the Live with Pastor Al website to see if I can see that here real quick. But we talked about this, but all of time exists within the person of God, because God exists is who exists outside of time. God is not subject to time because God created time. God is an eternal, timeless being. And so time, as well as all of the material universe and the spiritual universe, exists within the infinite being of God. So sounds metaphysical when you start looking at some of it, but like I said, Brother Pabas, now that he's with the Lord, he certainly knows this a little more clearly than he did when he was here looking at it from this side of heaven, trying to understand it. But one of the things that's probably the case is that when we get to heaven, the passage of time there will be so different that when I get to heaven, I'll see Brother Pabas, and I'll say, "Good to see you again after all these years." And he'll say, "What are you talking about? I just got here." Because it won't have seemed like years to him. Time is not going to have the same meaning there as it does here. And, so we have to look forward to that day. But
I was reading something here about after all, how did God live in our universe before he created our universe?
Well,
he didn't live in our universe.
Yeah, well, the actual way of phrasing that is, the way that's phrased is almost a misnomer, because the question isn't how did God live in our universe? What did you say? How did God live in our universe before he created it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there was no universe before he created it, but God existed. You see, one of the problems, and Christians are liable to do this just as easily as non-Christians, is to assume that God is constrained by the universe. But that's not true. The universe is constrained by God. See, God is not a function of the universe. The universe is a function of God. God created the universe and everything that's in it. And so that all exists within, as I said earlier, it exists within the being of God, because God did not, there's never a time that God did not exist. He's an eternal being. And so by definition, without beginning and without end, he's always existed. And so he becomes then the first cause for everything that we see that exists, because, well, as the Bible says, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You know, he spoke things into existence and now upholds them by the power of his word.
Well, this guy I've mentioned before many times when I called in, and I recommend people looking him up, and yourself included.
Mm-hmm.
Is a guy named Tom Bradford that I've mentioned.
Right.
I've learned so much from this guy. It's just unreal. And we say that we don't need a teacher. That's when we better think again.
Oh, no, we need a teacher. That's why God gave pastors and teachers.
Teachers. And I've learned so much over the years because of this guy. And yourself, too. I don't want to leave you out. And others that I've
mm-hmm. Oh,
we need teachers. We need one another.
And I'm always learning from people.
Right. We say that we know it all. We got a problem. You know, just studying this alone would take years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Studying the universe, the stars, the moons.
Oh, yeah. Now think about this. And, oh, by the way, I did find that interview on my webpage. It's under the heading of Time, the Universe, and Heaven. Interview with the late David M. Pabus, author of The Bible and Time, talking about the nature of time, the universe, and heaven. And, of course, in that he referenced his book and his website, but none of those are available anymore. But I think people interested in the subject might find that that interview interesting and intriguing. And getting back to the discussion that we have here, it's think about this. If Adam and Eve had not sinned and they were fruitful, multiplied, and filled the earth, and their children did not sin and they continued to be multiplying and filling the earth, eventually the earth would have filled up and we had a whole physical universe eventually to explore. And it's so vast, you know, as they point out, there's literally, they believe, I think the latest estimate is there's now about 200 billion galaxies. They used to think it was about 2 trillion, but then they revised it down recently, some people did. So whether it's 200 billion or 2 trillion, that's a lot. And then each of those galaxies perhaps having a couple hundred billion stars. And then those stars having, many of them, one or more planets surrounding them, that gives us the potential of trillions of planets to explore. Yeah, it sounds like God had something for us to spend time doing, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeah, and then, of course, during the eternity in the future, after the Great White Throne Judgment, after, you know, the millennial reign of Christ and all that, we're going to have the new heaven and the new earth, and I believe God's going to restore things to their former glory and cleanse creation from the stain of sin. And then, of course, we'll have an eternity to explore those billions, if not trillions of stars and trillions of planets and different things that God has created. That's just the material realm. And then, of course, there's the spiritual realm, where the angels dwell, that we'll have access to and be able to explore and learn about. It sounds like there's going to be a lot for us to do. We won't just be, as I said, sitting on a cloud, strumming a harp, eating cream cheese for the rest of eternity. I like cream cheese, but I'd get tired of it after a while. So
yeah, we'll never be bored up there.
No, he's always going to have stuff for us to do to keep us in curious and keep us active and keep us doing things, and there'll be no shortage of things to do, I'm sure, in eternity. But see, right now our minds have a difficult time wrapping our head around it because we're creatures of time. We it's hard to imagine a sense of eternity.
We know in part and we prophesy in part, but
right,
which is perfect has come, and that which is in part shall be dealt away with.
Yeah, and then, of course, Jesus said, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those that love him." So, you know, we've got so much. What's that?
What a day of rejoicing that's going to be.
Yes.
When we all see Jesus shout the victory.
Amen to that. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be an exciting time. And, of course, the key is we need to know Christ as our Savior. And that's why we emphasize the gospel message. That's why we remind people that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. Because the only way we get there, we can't climb up some other way. We can't buy a ticket. We can't call ahead and phone in reservations. The only thing we can do is humble ourselves before the Lord, put our faith in Christ, believe that he died on the cross for us, for our sins, shed his blood to pay for our sins, and that he was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. The Bible says if we believe those things and we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall, not might, we shall be saved. But we need to believe his word. Hey, we got the break coming up. Terry, thanks for the good call tonight, and stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your question. And, of course, I want to remind you to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can link from there to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and of course, they're the main sponsor of the program. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889, that's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and you can give them a call. 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Tell them you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back into our program here this evening. Again, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers listening tonight, and we're going to get Nancy here tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. It's very interesting hearing Barb and Terry, and that was really a good question about the Comforter, because I
yes.
just assumed the Comforter was only the Holy Spirit. But to get to my subject, mm-hmm. and also I really enjoyed Terry's conversation And I'm very interested in astronomy and the universe and just the vastness of it. And so anyhow, that was, and my father was too, when I'm thinking about my father on Father's Day. Now, my question is, you know, I tell people, you know, if their father's no longer on earth,
right,
they say, well, we have our heavenly father,
mm-hmm.
but can a lost person say, I have a heavenly father if they have not been saved? And I'm thinking of Psalm 68:5, God is the father of the fatherless. And then Luke 15:1-10, about the shepherd seeking his one lost sheep. Now, I don't know if that's any kind of an analogy with lost, you know, somebody that's lost, you know, like say he has 99 saved sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's really bizarre, but I don't know if that was analogous. But my question is, can a lost person claim doctrinally correctly that God is my heavenly father? That's my question.
Well, and that is a good question when you think about it. And let me give you another verse here that might help. Let's just muddy the waters a little bit more. How's that?
Okay.
Before we try to clear them out, let's try to muddy them a little bit more. Remember, Jesus was talking in John chapter 8. He was talking to some of the Jewish people there, and at one point he's talking to some of those that believed on him, but there were some there who rejected him. And in John chapter 38, he makes this statement. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Okay? Now, they answered him in verse 39 and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. And he says, but now ye seek to kill me. The man that had told you the truth, which I heard of God, this did not Abraham. I mean, they're not doing the works of Abraham. Then he says in verse 41, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now, they are accusing him of being an illegitimate child. There were various stories that were circulated, still get circulated today. One of the stories is that Mary was unfaithful to Joseph. Another story is that she was raped by one of the Roman soldiers or something like that, and different things. Trying to deny and explain away the virgin birth. That's what those things are trying to do. And that's not new, because that's what they were implying right here. But they said, we have one father, even God. And then in John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? And then in verse 44, he says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, when we are talking about, can an unsaved person claim that God is their father? Well, here my answer, I guess, to that would be yes, in the sense that God created them, right? He created all of us. We have our life, we have our beginning, we have our origin in God. So ultimately, he is our father, even the father of an unsaved person in that sense. However, the unsaved person, because they're lost in their sin, is not a part of what Jesus is talking about here about God's family. And he's saying instead they belong in the family of the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. And so when we look at this, in the sense that, yes, God created them. He is our he is the father of everyone in that sense. But in mm-hmm. terms of claiming him, it's mm-hmm. as if they have been separated from his family and mm-hmm. taken into another family, which is kind of what happened when Adam disobeyed God and purposely ate the forbidden fruit. What he was effectively doing was placing himself in league with the devil, with the devil's family. And so we need to be adopted out of the devil's family into God's family, to where he is our heavenly father. Yes, he created everyone. The unsaved person is created by him. But in terms of claiming that relationship of the heavenly father that entitles you to live with him in his home, to live in a mansion that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's not preparing that place for people who don't know Christ as their Savior. They're going to dwell with their spiritual father. Maybe that's a way to put it. Their spiritual father of the unsaved person mm-hmm. is the devil. And that's what Jesus is telling them here.
My goodness.
And, you know, it's not a popular thing to say. It's not a pleasant thing to say. But remember, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is, and he said, to preach the word. You know, be instant in season, out of season. And then he said in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And verse 4, he said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So this is very clear. These people who were rejecting Christ, spiritually, their father was the devil. And so they were doing the works of their father. Even though physically, yes, they were descended from Abraham. Abraham was their father physically. And yes, they were created by God, so God was their father in that sense. But spiritually, they belonged to the devil. So when we think about it in the spiritual sense, because they spiritually belong to their father, the devil, then they cannot claim the inheritance that comes when we spiritually belong to God. And when we put our faith in Christ and we're genuinely born again, we're adopted into his family, he becomes our heavenly father in the spiritual sense, and now we're joint heirs of salvation with Christ. We're heirs to the promises of God the Father. And so I think that's kind of where I'm looking at it.
Oh, that you explained it really, really well. I certainly will not make a statement to someone that I'm pretty sure that they're lost, or they say, oh, my father died, you know, I don't have a father anymore. I certainly won't say, well, you have your heavenly father. I can't say that. And I certainly am not going to say, well, your father's the devil. Boy, would they get me. Yeah.
Well, that's not a way, you know, Carnegie would not have had that.
Win friends and influence
people. Right, yeah. It's not in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's not. And in fact, you know, sad thing is, there's some church growth books that tell you not to say things like that because it'll turn people off and it'll reduce the amount of money that comes in the offering plate. But what are we supposed to do? Proclaim the word of God? Like Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine? Or are we supposed to give in to the spirit of the age and just, you know, itch the ears of those that have, you know, itching ears?
Oh, yeah, like Joel Osteen, he tells the people what they want to hear.
Well, exactly. In fact, he actually said at one time years ago, the old Larry King talk show, he was being interviewed, and he said that he doesn't talk about sin or negativity because he said basically, well, people get beat up all day at work, you know, all week at work, every day. And when they come here, I want them to feel good. He's a tremendous inspirational speaker. He just doesn't proclaim the gospel.
No, he's a great inspirational speaker.
Oh, you feel good listening to him, but you don't learn the gospel.
A lot of people, I think he's leading a lot of people to hell because he's not teaching them the correct doctrine.
Right.
They just tell them what they want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the apostate preachers that gain, hundreds of thousands of followers. Well, anyhow, I'm preaching to the choir.
Well, of course, there's people who are going to say, you're only talking about him because you're jealous. Who are you to judge? Well, no, God said we can judge with spiritual judgment. Isaiah said to the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to, this word. There's no light in them. And, we go back to the scriptures. That's what, we can judge all we want to. We're called to judge. People like to take that out of context.
Judge righteous judgment.
Exactly.
People
judge righteous judgment.
They love to say, judge not, lest you be judged.
Mm-hmm.
But that Pharisees, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. Well, anyhow, thank you for taking my call. I'm sure you have other callers. Thank you very much. And happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And appreciate the call. Appreciate the question tonight. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Our telephone lines are open. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the program here this evening. We still got plenty of time to get some more callers in. Wanted to mention something too here. We've had a lot of good feedback on our program that we did a week ago Friday with Ian Juby talking about UFO phenomena and the Bible, and want to encourage you to check that out online. Go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find the program. It was on Friday, June 11. I've got that on there. And then last week, I did a follow-up program talking about the idea of life in other parts of the universe, and could there be another part of the universe where God has created somebody and they have their own salvation story playing out and things like that. And that would have been last Friday, June 18th, and that's available online, livewithpastoral.com. There's also links to a great mini-series that Ian Juby has put together on UFOs, aliens, and Genesis. And he's got three of this four-part mini-series that he's putting together made available. And if you're at all interested in this subject, let me recommend that you check that out. Just simply go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, scroll down, you'll see that in the center there. You'll see a link for his YouTube program, and then I believe we've got another caller we're going to get to in just a moment here, but let me recommend a book. People were talking about different books and things that are available, and there's a great book called Alien Intrusion, subtitled UFOs and the Evolution Connection. It's by Gary Bates. And I think if you're at all interested in this subject, or you're talking with somebody that's interested in this subject, you would benefit by getting a hold of this book, Alien Intrusion, by Gary Bates. And the title of that book, there's a column that I have on our website, livewithpastoral.com, on the left-hand side of the page. There's a section that says Books I Recommend. And I believe I've got them alphabetical, so it's not by order of importance, but it's number two on the list. First one's A History of the Baptist by Thomas Armitage. But the second one is Alien Intrusion by Gary Bates. I think you will profit from reading that. There's some eye-opening material that he has available. And then, of course, he's got more things available online. So let me encourage you to check those things out. Well, we've got a caller calling in. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. The phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got John in Cleveland calling in. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Good. I had two questions.
Yes, sir.
The first question is, who in the Bible do you feel was the first person that was able to read and write?
Adam.
Okay.
And so, that was easy.
Who? And why would you say that?
Because God created him, and when he was created, he was fully aware. He was intelligent, smarter than we are. He had the benefit of being perfect in every single way. He would have obviously had the ability to communicate. He had the ability to name the various animals in chapter 2, where he talks about the animals coming, and he names them based on characteristics of the animals. It's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. It says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found helpmeet for him. But it's interesting, when we look at the original forms of languages, and especially even in the Hebrew language, the letters themselves originally were like pictograms, like little pictures, like hieroglyphics of the Egyptians, or the characters that you see in some like Chinese, Korean, Japanese languages. To give a quick example, I think it's the Hebrew word Dalet. I'll probably get that wrong. But it's what originally was derived and became our letter D. And it stood for a door. It symbolized a door. It was originally a straight line with a curved portion, which we now see the straight line vertical and the curved portion going off to the side. But the straight line originally was was horizontal, and the curved part hanging down, which makes sense when you realize that original doors might have been a bar or a pole across the doorway, and then a sheet or a skin of an animal hanging down from it, being more rounded, and that would have symbolized a door. And so the original language, or the original Hebrew language, the letters that make up the name of various animals mean characteristics of those animals. So it's likely that Adam had an understanding, and he wouldn't have had to read or write anything at the moment. But eventually, of course, Eve was there, and then they had sons and daughters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and all manner of learning is described for us in the first few chapters of the Bible. So I think Adam was probably the first person who had the ability to read and write.
Okay, and my second question is, who in the Bible do you think was the first person to use the wheel?
The wheel? Well, it might have been Adam. But more, if it wasn't Adam, here's a good candidate. If you go into Genesis chapter number 5, it says this. There's a couple candidates, actually. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, the name of the other Zillah, and Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamath. Now, we have here agricultural development with Jabal there. With Jubal, we see musical instruments and things of that nature. And then with Tubal-Cain, we see working in brass and iron, metallurgy developed. And I would imagine between the three of them, one of them was sure to have come up with the wheel if it hadn't been invented first, because certainly in agriculture and handling feed and everything, they would have had a need for a cart. And then, of course, with developing musical instruments, you can see where that might have led to the development of a wheel somewhere in there. But certainly working with brass and iron, the potential of building a wheel could have occurred there. So somewhere in there is where the wheel would have come in, I believe.
So that would have been the fifth generation after Adam?
Well, by then, certainly, but they may have had it before, because Abel and Cain, the first generation, Abel was a keeper of sheep, Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain may have invented a wheel actually himself in order to load his produce on to carry it more effectively. So it's entirely possible that Cain or Abel had a wheel. And, of course, anywhere in here, this is pretty early on. And certainly Adam was alive at the time that that Jabal and Jubal and Tubal-Cain were around too. So somewhere in there in those first few generations, they had the wheel and no doubt had reading and writing and things available to them.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate the questions tonight, John. Thank you so much. And again, I want to thank all of our callers tonight, and certainly thank you all of our listeners. Happy Father's Day again to all the fathers listening tonight. And I hope you'll tune in again next week. And if you've got the opportunity, join us on Friday for our Friday afternoon program on the same station at 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And then, of course, next Sunday night, again, 11 o'clock until midnight. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Love to have you call, love to have you visit, but most importantly, love to see you in heaven. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.